Could you please take your copy of God's Word and turn to Philippians chapter 2? I want to read verses 19 through 24 with you. The Word of God says, "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be in good spirits when I learn of your circumstances. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned about your circumstances. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately, as soon as I evaluate my own circumstances. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning with hearts of gratitude. We thank you because we can be here on this beautiful Lord's Day to worship you and to exalt your name as brothers and sisters in Christ because of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. We thank you for this section of scripture looking at the life of Timothy and how we can be faithful servants like him. I pray, Father, that you would illuminate your word to us through your Spirit, that you would instruct us, teach us, and help us grow into the image of your precious Son. We thank you, and we give you this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. Many of us have heard this saying before, and some of us have even said it ourselves. We say that when we believe that we can't trust someone else to do the work like we would like to do it. There's a certain level of care and excellence that we want, especially when it's something that's near and dear to our own hearts. To hand that responsibility over to someone else would take a huge amount of trust. You would need someone that's trustworthy, dependable, reliable, and committed to doing the job well. The Apostle Paul had someone like that in his life. Someone who he could trust with his biggest assignments. And this person was his son in the faith, Timothy. In today's passage, Paul shows us what made Timothy so trustworthy. And through his example, we see what it means to be a faithful servant of Christ. We've been going through Paul's exhortation to the Philippians to live worthy of the gospel, a theme that has run from chapter 1, verse 27, all the way to chapter 2, verse 18. In this exhortation, Paul encouraged the Philippians, and us by extension, to live our lives worthy of the gospel, to strive for unity, to strive for self-sacrificial humility, and to strive for growth in holiness. Last week, we saw the conclusion of this exhortation, where he expressed joy over their faithful gospel partnership. One of Paul's greatest sources of joy came from seeing God's people grow in their holiness and in their faithfulness to Christ. That's why Paul spent such a large portion of this letter on exhortations for spiritual growth. One of the central themes of this exhortation is found in verses 3 and 4 of this chapter. In Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul said he wanted the Philippians doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vainglory, but with humility of mind regarding one another as more important than themselves. And then he said, not merely looking out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Humility is essential for a believer, if you want to grow in godliness and in your usefulness to the Lord. Having urged the Philippians to live humbly and selflessly, Paul pointed to several examples of self-sacrificial humility through this chapter. In Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8, he pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ as the greatest example of self-sacrificial humility and servanthood. In this section, he spoke about how Jesus Christ descended from heaven, humbled himself by taking on humanity, by going to the cross on behalf of his people. Then in verses 17 and 18, Paul modeled the same sacrificial attitude in his own life, declaring that even if his life was completely poured out in service to the Lord, he would rejoice. His life was Christ, and he would gladly pour it out for his master. Beginning in our section today that goes from verse 19 to verse 30, Paul points to two more faithful servants who modeled this self-sacrificial humility, Timothy and Epaphroditus. Paul wanted the Philippians to embrace lives of sacrificial service, and he gave them real-life examples to follow. It's one thing to hear about self-sacrificial humility, but it's a whole other thing to see it lived out. We've already examined the examples of Christ and Paul, so now we're going to look at the examples of Timothy and Epaphroditus. I want to examine with you what made these men so faithful. So this week we'll look at Timothy's life from verses 19 to 24, and next week we'll look at Epaphroditus' life from verses 25 to 30. And as we examine their lives together, my hope is that we might learn from these men and strive for this kind of faithfulness in our own walks with Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 24, Paul highlights in Timothy three important qualities of a faithful servant of Christ. For those of you taking notes, I'll give you these three qualities up front, and we'll go through them one at a time. The first quality of a faithful servant is that they're trustworthy in mission. We see that in verse 19. The second is that they're selfless in motive, and we see that in verses 20 and 21. Finally, we'll see that they are proven in character, and we see that in verse 22. So let's examine the first quality of a faithful servant of Christ. How they're trustworthy in mission. In verse 19, the Apostle Paul says, "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be in good spirits when I learn of your circumstances." So during the time this letter was written, the Apostle Paul was in his Roman imprisonment, and he didn't yet know what his outcome would be, whether he would be set free or whether he would be put to death. And because he wasn't able to go himself, he was hoping in the Lord Jesus to be able to send Timothy as his representative. And note what Paul says here in verse 19. Hope in the Lord Jesus. Paul is acknowledging the sovereign rule of Jesus Christ, and he knew that his plans were subject to his approval. He knew that all his circumstances, including his imprisonment, were all ordained by God, and they worked for the furtherance of the gospel. There's no doubt that he was continuously praying to the Lord Jesus Christ for guidance and direction, and he was willing to shift his plans as necessary according to God's will. And brothers and sisters, this is an outlook that we should have in our own lives as well. We need to remember that God is sovereign over every circumstance of your life. Over the good, over the bad, and over everything in between. And sometimes we want things to happen our own way, in our own time. the way we want things to unfold. And when we don't get what we want, we end up disappointed, despondent, maybe even depressed. I know there have been plenty of times in my life where I would pray, Lord, please give me this specific thing. And then I wouldn't get it, and I'd get disappointed. And then time would pass, and something better would even happen to me. Something greater than I ever even imagined. And then I look back at that time of disappointment, and I realize God had a better plan than me. And during those times of doubt and discouragement, brothers and sisters, I'd like to encourage you and remind you that His thoughts are far greater than our thoughts, and His ways are far greater than our ways. Even though we might not understand why things are going the way they are, we can trust that God is a good God and that His way is always the best way. Paul knew that he was in control, and he had hoped in the Lord that he would be able to send Timothy to his beloved spiritual children. And this hope wasn't just a wish that he had. This was a deep longing in his heart. He believed there was no one better to send than to Timothy to represent him to his beloved spiritual children. But who was Timothy, and why did he have so much of Paul's confidence? Timothy was Paul's protege and his son in the faith. He had met Timothy on his second missionary journey about 10 years before this letter was written, in Timothy's hometown of Lystra. He was half Jew and half Greek, and he was already a faithful disciple who was well spoken of by the brothers in Lystra. According to 2 Timothy 1:5, his mother and grandmother were instrumental in raising him in the ways of the Lord and teaching him the scriptures from the time that he was young. And after seeing his potential for ministry, Paul took Timothy under his wing and he began to pour into him. Timothy was a faithful disciple of Christ. He even willingly submitted to the rite of circumcision, so that he wouldn't offend the Jewish people they were ministering to in the area. And as he served alongside Paul, he proved to be a faithful and trustworthy steward of the faith. Paul confided in him and trusted him with important responsibilities. Paul had sent Timothy to Corinth during a particularly tense time to send correction to the church on behalf of Paul. This happened in 1 Corinthians 4. In 1 Corinthians 4:17, Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, "For this reason I have sent you to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and who will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church." Paul trusted Timothy to speak on his behalf. And he knew that Timothy would faithfully carry out his mission. He was a close friend and co-laborer of Paul. And he was with Paul even in his Roman imprisonment. Timothy had shown that he was a trustworthy companion. And he was always available for the work of ministry. There can be so much work in ministry. And it can be taxing. It's hard labor. But it's such a blessing to have faithful people like Timothy who are always willing to help and always available to meet a need. At my job, things can get hectic sometimes. Classes to teach, paperwork to catch up on, responsibilities piling up. And it can be stressful sometimes because the work just doesn't keep coming. But it's so refreshing to work with people who aren't afraid to get in there and share some of the workload. There's this one guy I work with who I can trust and depend on to get the work done and to do it well. Sometimes he'll see I'm having an off day and he'll say, Eddie, I've got this. You go take care of what you need to do. It's such a blessing to work with people like this, who aren't afraid to get their hands dirty and to share the load with you. And in that same way, it's such a blessing to see brothers and sisters in Christ who conduct themselves this way in the church. People who are eager to serve the Lord and eager to help fulfill a need. Those who don't have to be told anything. They see a need and they go meet it. See, we need people like this in the church today. Men and women who are faithful, who are trustworthy, who see the work of the Lord as a sacred trust directly from Him. People who can be counted on no matter what the task is. And that was Timothy for Paul. He knew that as he sent Timothy, he would be capable of helping the Philippians with whatever their needs may be. Whether it was reconciliation between divided parties, helping them defend from false teachers, ministering to their needs in any way possible. Paul knew Timothy was the man for the job. And he knew that Timothy would refresh him with the news he returned about the Philippians. He was confident that he would be in good spirits when Timothy returned to him. And that's because of the faithfulness of the Philippians also. Paul wanted the Philippians to receive Timothy as the faithful servant that he was, because he was trustworthy in mission. But what made Timothy this kind of man? What was the motive behind his faithfulness? Paul gives us the answer in this following section: Timothy's selfless heart. Timothy's motives were pure, and they were focused not on himself, but on the people around him that he loved. So let's look at the second quality of a faithful servant of Christ: selfless in motive. In verse 20, Paul says, "For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned about your circumstances. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus." Paul begins this section by giving Timothy one of the biggest commendations possible. He called him a kindred spirit. Paul served alongside many faithful men and women, and he discipled many faithful men as well. But there was none like Timothy. The word Paul uses here for kindred spirit literally means equal-souled or one-souled, and it describes two people whose hearts and minds and their philosophy of life and ministry are completely united and aligned. These were men who shared their desires and affections. Timothy was one who, like Paul, could say, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And truly live by that philosophy of ministry. In his final letter to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 and the first part of verse 11, Paul reminds him of this when he said, "But you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra." Timothy was faithful to Paul and followed him throughout all those trials and tribulations. And he followed his life and his teachings very closely. This was a man with Paul's dedication, Paul's passion, and Paul's zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ. Their friendship and their partnership were sustained and bonded together by their love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had discipled Timothy and invested in him greatly, taking him along on his second and third missionary journeys. Paul had spent lots of time with Timothy, and Timothy ended up developing a heart and a mind just like Paul. Just like they say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree when comparing a child and his father, so it was with Timothy and his spiritual father. He wasn't willing to go to the Philippians just because Paul told him to. In verse 20, Paul says that he had a genuine concern for the Philippians just like he did. He cared about them, cared about their growth, cared about their trials and their difficult circumstances, and he was more than willing to travel to them to go and meet their needs. And it's such a blessing to have people like that in your life who genuinely and truly care about you. In the church, we should be known for our genuine love and our care for each other. Not just on a surface level either. On Sunday mornings when we come and say, "Hey, how are you doing?" "Oh yeah, things are great. See you next Sunday." I mean a deep and true love for each other. And we ought to be encouraging each other, praying for each other, and willing and able to serve one another. I know we all get busy with life, but I think it would do us well to pause on the busyness of life sometime and ask ourselves these kinds of questions. When was the last time I checked up on someone's spiritual well-being? Outside of Sundays and midweek Bible studies? Have I prayed or encouraged someone that's going through a hard time, who's struggling? Am I genuinely concerned with the spiritual well-being of my brothers and sisters in Christ? These kinds of simple acts can help us build a healthy and thriving church because it demonstrates our love and our concern for one another. And our love for one another is what makes us shine in this dark world. It's such a witness to the gospel when a church is truly and genuinely loving one another. And we have the opportunity to shine the light of Christ through our close relationships. In this world that is growing increasingly self-centered and selfish, it's become a lot more difficult to find people who actually care about each other. We're constantly told, look out for number one. Take care of yourself first and look after your own needs. But the church is meant to be different. Our bond is in Christ. We are united in Him. And it should drive us to love and to care for one another. See, this is such a blessing to experience. I've experienced how this love and this unity in Christ shows itself in tangible ways. I've had some brothers in Christ who I first met on my first day of seminary, who from that very day showed a genuine love and concern for me. These brothers constantly pray for our church. They check up on our church. They pray for me. They pray for my family. They pray for the needs of the body here. And even though I had just met those brothers, I felt like I've known them forever. That's true unity in Christ. But unity isn't just something we enjoy. Unity is something that ought to be lived out. And if we can experience this kind of love and unity with other brothers and sisters in Christ from other churches and other places, how much more should we have that here in our own fellowship? See, our love and concern for each other should manifest itself in our conduct, in the way we love each other, and in the way we treat each other. This is exactly the kind of heart that Timothy had. He loved the Philippians, and he was concerned about them, like a true shepherd caring for his flock. But notice here in verse 21, Paul draws a sharp contrast. While Timothy cared for the church, there were those who only cared for themselves. They weren't driven by Christ's interests. They were driven by their own interests. Paul uses the word seeking here in the present tense, which means that these men lived in a continual state of self-interest. It was all about themselves. And he may have been referring to the preachers from Philippians 1:15 and 17 who were preaching Christ out of selfish motives, envy, and strife. These were men who were not teaching false doctrines, but they had allowed their ministry to become self-focused instead of Christ-focused. These men became double-minded and unstable in all their ways, just like it says in James 1:8. And take Demas, for example, who early on served faithfully alongside Paul. And it's seen in passages like Colossians 4:14 and Philemon 24. But then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul laments and he says, "Demas, having loved this present age, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." This was a man who was a faithful partner of Paul at the time. But because of his love of the world, he abandoned him and deserted him. He began so well and he fell so badly. And that's because his self-interest replaced his Christ interest. And men like these are fueled by self. They'll faithfully serve when things are going well, but they quickly step away when hardships come or when they don't get what they want. These are men who come into the church seeking recognition or personal benefit. And when they don't get what they want, see you later. Their concern for the church is conditional. It's based on what they can get from the church. But that's not who Timothy was. He was not in it for his own interests. He was in it for the Lord Jesus Christ, selflessly and sacrificially serving his people. When Christ's priorities become our priorities, our service will be sincere. Our lives will be genuine. And they will be fruitful for his glory. And that what makes a faithful servant of Christ, a heart that's motivated by Christ and not by their own self-interest. So that's the second quality we see. The third quality is that they're proven in character. In verse 22, Paul says, "But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father." So here Paul points back to Timothy's track record of faithful ministry. By the time this was written, Timothy was already serving alongside Paul for about 10 years. And there's no doubt that the Philippians knew of his faithfulness. This phrase, proven worth, refers to something that has been tested and approved, like a piece of jewelry, refined by fire, proving its authenticity and value. And when it's used of a person, it refers to proven character or tested value. This is someone who not only talks the talk, but also walks the walk. It brings to mind a man named Major General Smedley Butler of the U.S. Marine Corps. This man served in the military for 34 years, going on 10 campaigns with the U.S. Marines. This was the only man, one out of 19 men in history, to receive a Medal of Honor on 2 separate occasions. And just as this battle-tested soldier proved his courage through repeated battles and faithful service, Timothy had proven his faithfulness through years of ministry with Paul. And one of the things we must understand, brothers and sisters, is that faithfulness isn't proven in comfort. It's proven in testing. It's proven in trials. Timothy's ministry was shaped by testing and trial, especially during the missionary journeys. Paul had often sent him on many difficult assignments, and his reliability grew with each mission that he was given. He consistently proved himself to be trustworthy, to be selfless, and to be steadfast. A faithful servant of Christ laboring together along Paul. And why was the furtherance of the gospel so important to these men? Why did they risk all they had, including their lives, for the furtherance of the gospel? It's because their own lives were transformed by the power of the gospel. Both of these men were raised to know the scriptures from childhood. But before Christ saved them, they were his enemies. Paul especially, a man of deep religious zeal, trained by the best teachers and part of the strictest sect of Judaism. He was so far gone that he thought he was serving God by persecuting his people. He captured them. He imprisoned them. He approved of their executions. But on the road to Damascus, his whole life changed in the blink of an eye. Paul had a face-to-face encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And it was at that very moment that he realized he was persecuting the Messiah who came to save sinners. And at that very moment, he experienced the transforming power of the gospel. He was forgiven of his sins, cleansed by grace, and renewed in his heart and his mind. And his life was never the same again. He dedicated the rest of his life from that point on to preach the same gospel he was trying to eliminate. He became from the biggest enemy of the church to the biggest servant of Christ. See, and that's the power of the gospel. And this is the same gospel that we preach today. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came down from heaven and lived the sinless life that we could never live. That he died the death that we deserved, all for the sake of his people. And that he died and he rose again on the third day so that all who would believe in him would have eternal life. Paul's life was transformed by that truth. And so was Timothy's. 2 Timothy 3:15 says that Timothy was also raised in the scriptures, but it was through the gospel that his heart was awakened to a saving faith in Christ. That's why he was willing to leave his life behind in Lystra, to travel with Paul on his missionary journeys, and to serve faithfully for decades, even after Paul's death. Church tradition tells us that Timothy shepherded the church in Ephesus for about 30 years after Paul's death. So both of these men experienced God's unmerited mercy and grace and love upon their lives. And from that moment on, they lived for one purpose only, to make the gospel known through them. And they labored together like a child and his father, working together for the glory of Christ. And their fruit and proven character weren't because of their own efforts and their own discipline. It was because of the transformative grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't it amazing to think that it's the same grace he extends to us today? Through faith in his life, his death, and his resurrection, anyone who believes will have eternal life. Let me ask you this morning, have you received his saving grace in your life? Have you repented of your sins and placed faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you have not, I urge you, repent of your sins and believe in Christ as Lord. And for those of you who have received his saving grace, this should motivate you to serve him, just like Paul and Timothy served him. Just think about it. Your eternity is secured forever. You have been bought by the precious blood of Christ, and you belong to him forever. You can have the same confidence as Paul did in Romans 8, 38 and 39, where he says, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." No matter what you go through in life, all the sufferings, all the trials, and all the hardships that wear you down, you can be confident that nothing can separate you from the love of God. He gave us such a precious gift, and it should cause us to be dedicated to the furtherance of the gospel, just like these faithful men here. Brothers and sisters, this is the Great Commission. This is why we are saved. We're not saved just to reap the benefits of salvation and do nothing for the kingdom of God. Our salvation is not just to avoid the eternal fires of hell. It's so that we may serve him and worship him and glorify him forever. And this mission was of utmost importance to Timothy and Paul, and it should be for us as well. Paul knew that Timothy was on the same page as him when it came to the furtherance of the gospel and the work of ministry. And that's why in verses 23 and 24, Paul says, "Therefore, I hope to send him immediately, as soon as I evaluate my own circumstances. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly." Paul wanted to send Timothy as soon as possible, and Timothy was available to go at any moment. He was waiting on Paul's directive, and he would soon be on his way once he learned what would happen to Paul here. And Paul was confident in his conviction that the Lord would allow him to go see the Philippians. And Paul here lays out a solid case for why the Philippians ought to receive Timothy as they would himself. He was a man who was trustworthy in mission. He was selfless in motive, and he was a man of proven character. And as we close today, I'd like to leave you with these questions. What kind of servant are you? Are you trustworthy in the mission that God has entrusted you with? To go out and proclaim the gospel, to lovingly serve sacrificially in your local church? Are you a servant of selfless motive? Not worried about what you can get about the church or from the church, but what you can give to the church? Are you a servant of proven character? Have you remained steadfast even under the most difficult times? Are you committed to the furtherance of the gospel? Or are you only living for yourself? If you have not committed to these things, would you consider doing so today? Strive to be a servant like Timothy. Brothers and sisters, time is short. and eternity is near. Let us not live for ourselves. Let us live for the glory of Christ. Let us be faithful stewards of the gospel, like Timothy, with humility, sacrifice, and unwavering love for Christ. And may we too be trustworthy in mission, selfless in motive, and proven in character. Faithful servants transformed by the grace of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this section of Scripture with so much encouragement and instruction. Father, help us to be faithful servants of Christ, like Timothy and like Paul, and like we'll see Epaphroditus next week. I pray that you would reveal to us areas that we need to change and modify, Father, that we may be useful instruments in your hands. Help us to be faithful servants of Christ, and help our lives be lived as a living sacrifice to you, holy and acceptable to you. We thank you, we love you, and we praise you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.